And it was talking about service, you know, people being in service, you know, to the Lord and different things. And they were having some kind of an outing or something, and at this church, and you know, people were serving, you know, and it was kind of funny because it made me remember one of the first things that I ever did in this church when I came. I'm not very domestic.
I'm not a cook, and I can't do. Margaret's bad because she won't let me do anything anyway. But anyway, I cooked them dinner one time, and I think I've told this story before. And I thought, man, I really made a good dinner for them guys. I made them a nice steak in down in the grill, and you know, I put butter and garlic salt and all kind of different things on it, and made this curried rice, you know, and all this stuff. And I thought, well, you know, I've really done good. I made them a good dinner. Well, they all ate, and then they were all throwing up for about 2 days. I think they had the flu, but they never let me live it down. So that's why I don't cook anymore. I'm not a cook. I wish I was like Ken, Damon's brother. I mean, my father. He's a great cook. Boy, that guy can cook, man. But I'm not much of a cook, so I'm not very domesticated. But anyway, what they were talking about is people were talking about service, you know, in this church. And the pastor was talking to this one person, and he said, we need people to serve. And he said, people serve, you know. And he said, you see that little old lady over there? He pointed over to this little old lady that was over there, and she was just going right at it and cleaning stuff up and doing all kind of stuff, you know. He said, she's the richest woman in this town. Said, she has servants at home. Said, but when she comes here, she serves. And you know what? I was thinking about that. I was thinking, you know what? Sometimes people get to thinking that they're too good to do something, you know, because they've reached some high elevated place or something. And I got news for you. You ain't never too good to outserve the Lord. You know, and the actual word for minister is a word that means servant. It actually means servant. And you know, I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, well, that little old lady, she was just right, got right in there. And one of the first things I was ever asked to do, like I say, it was during a wedding, and I think it might have been Daryl and Susan's, maybe? Dick and Imogene, that's who it was? Okay, Dick and Imogene's. A lot of years ago, and they said, well, Oscar, you want to serve? And I said, well, yeah, okay. So I did what I could do, but you know, I'm not much on the domestic side, but praise the Lord. But I was thinking about that when I read that story. I was thinking, well, you know, one of the first things I ever did was be, you know, serve at a wedding, you know, here, and that was a lot of years ago. Well, praise the Lord. The title to my sermon today is To Love or Criticize, You Choose. It's a choice. You know, I was reading this too, and I was thinking about this because this kind of applied to me one time. Not on the level of this fella, but it has applied to me once or twice by people. After a service had finished up, a cultured lady criticized Dwight L. Moody for his poor use of grammar. The evangelist replied, "You seem to use grammar well enough. What are you doing with it for the Lord?" And I bet she got real quiet after that. But Dwight L. Moody had a tremendous ministry in the sense that he touched many, many lives, and many books were written. And he, you know, but yet people were picking apart because his grammar wasn't perfect. And you know, I met some people down in Florida one time, and I guess they went on the internet and listened to some of the sermons that I had preached. And the guy had come up here and he had preached, and we got the sense when he was here that he thought he was a little farther advanced than we were, you know, in the Lord. And I watched him as he got up to try to speak, and he stumbled and fell all over himself, you know. And he actually came back later on and asked me because I told him, you know, when people speak here, it gets put on the internet. Every sermon that we share, even that Sunday school class back here, you can go on the internet and listen to it, you know. And anyway, I had asked him before he spoke. I said, "Is it okay if we put your message on the internet?" I said, "We usually do that with anyone who speaks from the pulpit here." And he said, "Oh yeah, yeah, that'd be good," you know. I said, "Okay." And anyway, he got up and he tried to speak, and he was falling all over himself. You know, he was having a rough time of it. And I think normally he was assistant pastor at another church, you know, for years. And the church where he was assistant pastor at, they taught deeper truths, you know, and stuff. But I watched as the Lord humbled him down. And I mean, but he humbled him down that day. Because he came to me later on and he contacted me and he says, "Can you have him take that off of the internet?" He says, "I don't want that on there." I said, "Well, I'll see." And Curtis, he does a whiz-bang job on that stuff. And he took it off, you know. And but it was funny because, you know, I'd talked to him a little bit here and there and stuff. And this guy tried to speak real proper English, you know, and all that. And that's fine. And I don't knock anybody who speaks proper English. I mean, I don't. I kind of murder it, you know. But, you know, I've noticed over the years the Lord uses me a lot in giving you definitions of Greek and Hebrew words, you know. And I would be the last person that I would choose to do that. But God chooses different than man does, you know. And anyway, his wife went on the internet and listened to a couple of my sermons. And her reply was not anything about the sermon itself, but about the fact that I kept saying, "I want you to know." When I would, and if any of you guys have noticed, I do say that. It's not on purpose. It's just, I don't know if it's nerves or whatever it is, but I do want you to know. And she just said, "Well, it's kind of irritating that you keep saying, I want you to know." And I thought, well, what that tells me is you're not listening to the other things that I'm saying. You're picking apart one thing that I'm saying. I didn't say anything to her. I mean, but that's what the thoughts that went through my mind. I thought, you're picking apart the things and you're missing the gist of what I'm saying. And I said, I was thinking, shame, because I've said some wonderful things, not because I said them, but because they were the word of the Lord, you know. And, you know, Dwight L. Moody, as prominent as he was, he had this woman come up to him and say, "You know, you sure use poor grammar." So, you know, you can choose to criticize or you can choose to love. And I'll tell you, don't expect real proper grammar from me, because I'm not no English major. I'm not tremendously educated, you know. You know, the education that I've got concerning the scriptures is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that's the best place you can ever sit. And if anybody ever asks me what university did I go to, I tell them Holy Spirit U. And you know what? That's the only university that's any good. Praise God. Okay, I just wanted to get that out of the way a little bit because that was kind of on my mind this morning. Proverbs 3:1-10 says this. And I'm going to stick some scriptures in between some of these verses, so just bear with me. Proverbs 3:1-10 says this. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And you know, when I was thinking about that, the Lord gave me this scripture, John 13, 34 through 35. And I'm going to stick that in there, okay? And Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, and that also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." Not by how good of English you speak, not by how wonderful of stories you tell. You know, I've shared this years ago, and I know you all might have seen it written in tracts or whatever. There was this meeting, and this man got up to quote the 23rd Psalm. And he just was very, very eloquent in his speech. And he quoted the 23rd Psalm. And, you know, when he got done, you know, people clapped for him because it was just perfect. His English was just perfect and everything. Then after him, this old man got up and he quoted the 23rd Psalm. And he kind of murdered the English and wasn't real precise with everything he said. Maybe misquoted a couple words or didn't read them right. But when he got done, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And guy standing in the back said, "I don't understand." He said, "When the one guy spoke, it was so pretty and elegant. When the other guy spoke, people cried." And they said, "Well, the first guy knew the 23rd Psalm. The second guy knew the one who wrote the 23rd Psalm, the author of it, and that was God." And you know, that's what really counts. And that's why never feel that whatever you have is not good enough. I don't care what little you have. You know, there's a song, "Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame, for there's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name." And the time to go in Jesus' name is when he sends you. Make sure he's the one sending you. And when he sends you, go. And I tell you what, whatever you have is enough. It's enough. And God can take something that's next to nothing and turn it into something wonderful and beautiful. And he does. Praise the Lord. Back to Proverbs. It says this. It's in verse 2. It says, "For length of days and long life... and peace shall they add to thee." Matthew 22, stick a scripture in here. Matthew 22, sorry about that. Got a horse, frog, sounds like a horse. I got a frog in my throat. Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says this. They came to Jesus and they said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And you know what? If you don't get anything else out of anything I say here today, that scripture I just read you, it's enough. Because I tell you what, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you're fulfilling the commandments. I don't care how much you feel like you fall short of them, because love is the ultimate commandment. Praise God. Back to Proverbs. Proverbs verse 3 says here, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the tables of thy heart." Mercy and truth. Psalm 85 says this, 85:10. I love this. "Mercy and truth are met." And that word for met means they keep encountering each other. Together, it said, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Oh, I love that. Righteousness and peace, praise God, have kissed each other. You know, the scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, what? Children of God, that's right. And I'm going to tell you what, be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker in every situation you come in. You know, don't be a criticizer. Be a peacemaker. Praise God. Back to Proverbs number 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the light of God and man. Clyde, this is your scripture here. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Praise God. You know, not only will he direct your paths, he'll walk down the path with you. And you know what? I've told you this before. Malcolm Smith one time went over into the Holy Land. And when he was over in the Holy Land, he was watching, he was by this well. He went to one of those, some of those wells that were dug by some of the prophets and stuff. And he was standing by this well watching. And these shepherds came up. And they started coming up with their sheep. And they walked up to the well. And then another shepherd walked up to the well. And another shepherd walked up to the well. And another shepherd walked up to the well. And there was just sheep all over the place surrounding this well. And they were watering and giving them water to drink. And when the shepherds got ready to leave, they walked away and started calling their sheep by name. And he said, and when they started calling them by name, the sheep just pulled out and started following the shepherd. We don't have any shepherds in America. We have sheep herders. They have dogs and horses, and they force the sheep to go here and force them to go there. Over there, they have shepherds. My sheep know my voice, and another they won't follow. And I'm going to tell you what. You should pray every day, Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit would speak to me today. And I tell you what, he'll give you the ears because that pleases him. He wants you to know his voice. My sheep know my voice, and another they won't follow. Praise God. And said, be not wise in their own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is back to Proverbs. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know where the navel is. It's right down here by where your stomach is. And when a baby's born, that's how that baby is fed, through the umbilical cord. And they cut it off and it becomes your navel. So if you got any stomach problems, then be not wise in your own eyes. But keep the fear of the Lord and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel. It'll be health to your stomach and marrow to your bones. You know, marrow's where the blood's made. That's where a lot of cancer comes from and stuff and everything else. Those blood cells actually fight the cancer and stuff in your body. They fight. They go to war when there's anything invading your body. And it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I forgot to read verse 9 to you. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. And you know how you honor the Lord? We were talking about this back in Sunday school. I didn't intend to talk about this back there, but we got to talking about giving, you know. And I'm going to tell you, when you honor the Lord with your increase and with the first fruits of all your increase, he's going to cause that increase to increase and increase and increase. And that's the way it happens. You know, you know, Oswald Chambers put it like this. Oswald Chambers, he wrote some great books, and he was a great, great minister, and he shared the word wonderfully. It says the heart is a central part of the mind, the altar of the mind, and the outer court. The mind is the outer court. And what we offer on the center altar will show itself in due course through the outer court. You know, if you look at your heart in the natural, your heart is a very important organ. A lot of people think, well, my heart thinks. Well, no, it don't think. It just reacts. And what your heart in the natural does is it pumps blood through your whole body. And it's the pump of life, if you want to put it that way. That's exactly what it is. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, I told you this a few weeks ago about that scientist, Dr. Carter. He was up in up in Canada, and he was talking to a minister up there, and he was really, really intelligent guy, and he said that him and Einstein had you know, really just studied a lot of different things, and he said that they never could figure out where the life was in a man. And the minister looked at him and said, you can't figure that out. He said, no. He said, I can tell you where it's at. He said, where? He said, the Word of God says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And every time that your heart beats and squirts that blood through your body, that's the very life of God going through your body in that blood. Because He covered you with the blood of Jesus. And you and you know, we have that going through every part of our body. And every time that thing beats, it's squirting the life of blood through your whole body. And if it stops beating, you're gonna lay down and die. But I tell you what, the neat thing about it is that it doesn't have to be told to beat. It's an involuntary reaction. You don't say to your heart beat. You don't say heart stop. It's going to beat whether you tell it to beat or not, as long as you're still alive. But I tell you what, the realm of the spirit is telling it to beat. And in the spiritual aspects of your heart, it's telling you that it's the life of God, and it's going to flow through you, and it's going to touch every part of your body. It's going to touch everybody that you come in contact with, if you'll just believe it. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23:7 says this, for he that thinketh his heart is so, eat and drink, and he saith, but his heart is not with thee. Proverbs 3:1-6 again says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And I love this again, but let mercy and truth forsake them not. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the tables of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, when it says in all thy ways, you know, I believe that we need to pray and say, Lord, teach me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. You know, and when he teaches you his ways, then he's going to definitely direct your paths. He's going to be the one that takes you by the hand and leads you exactly where he wants you to go. You know, so many times in the things of the Lord, I know a lot of times I've had people asked me to do things, and I didn't feel like I was really had the ability to do it. But I tell you what I found out is that once I've come to the place where I said, well, Lord, if you didn't want me to do it, you wouldn't have had the person ask me. I shared this a while back. Years ago, one of the other brothers in the church was the Sunday school teacher. And I was the backup Sunday school teacher for a lot of years. Whenever he was gone or something, I would teach a class. And the funny thing about it is that I told the Lord, I told the Lord before this even happened, I said, Lord, when you open doors, I'll step through them. I said, but I'm not going to beat them down. I'm not going to knock doors down. You got to open them. And I got to realize that they've been opened. That's basically what I told him. I went to a Tuesday night prayer meeting after I'd prayed that, you know. And what it was is, I shared this poem before. When the Lord gave me that poem about struggle, why do you struggle and why do you fret? He gave me the first verse, why do you struggle and why do you fret? And then he cut it off. And when God gives me poetry, when he does give it to me, it comes, and then there's a flow. Well, it cut off, and I knew it cut off. And then I thought, well, Lord, why did you cut that off, you know? And then I felt like he spoke to my heart, and he says, because when I give you things, you're not sharing them. He said, if you ain't going to share them, I ain't going to give you no more. I mean, that's exactly the way it felt like he spoke to my heart. So I stood there, and I said, well, Lord, if it's because I'm not sharing, I'll share. And almost instantly, the rest of that poem came. And I was going through something that poem really was ministering to me at the time, because we were in the process of buying our first house, and all of our plumbing was backing up in the basement. And I'd lived in the house for years and never had a bit of problem with my plumbing. But I get ready to buy the house, and all of a sudden, I got all kind of problems. So I thought, well, I don't have very much money, so I'm gonna try to fix it myself. Let me tell you something. Most of the time, don't try to fix it yourself. Go find somebody that really knows what they're doing and let them fix it. It'll cost you a couple bucks, but in the long run, you'll come out on the top side of it. So I got one of those router things. And I started roto-rooting this thing. And I roto-rooted it and roto-rooted it. And it seemed like it kept getting worse and worse and worse. Every time I'd go down in there and roto-rooter it, it'd get worse. So then I called a rescue router or something like that. I can't remember the name of the place. But anyway, they came out and they poured acid in my pipes and they roto-rooted it and it got worse. And then finally I decided I'm going to get a plumber, an actual plumber, to come out and look at it. So I got this plumber. He walked around and looked at my basement, and I was over here doing stuff. He went to the other side of the basement, and there was a pipe going down, and he knocked a hole in that pipe. I didn't have any accesses because this house was about 60 or 70 years old when I bought it, and that's what's been about 40 years ago, so it was close to 100 years old. So he walks over to this pipe and he knocks a hole in it. And he goes down in there and starts rooting around. And all of a sudden everything started going down. Well, I was getting waste in the basement about that thick, and it was the bad kind of waste, you know. And, you know, every time I would go downstairs, I would feel like crying. I'd just be so frustrated because I didn't know what to do. I'd tried everything I knew before I got that plumber. And then the Lord would start running that poem through my head. Why do you struggle? Why do you fret? For all you accomplish is to get upset. When everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. Truly to praise me in all these things, my peace will lift you as though you had wings. As you look on the problems below, I will give you the strength and the wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand, and that nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. And then I'd end up going up the stairs laughing. I'd go up there just laughing, saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm not gonna get down. I'm not gonna let this beat me." But finally, I went and got that plumber, and he had that thing running in no time. Then he come over and he's telling me. He says, "You know what?" He said, "You got some of the biggest pipes in your basement I ever seen." He said, "They're not 4-inch. He said, "They're 6 or bigger. You know, great big pipes." He said, "I could roll softballs through your basement thing all day long and they'd never hang up." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." He said, "But tell your daughter not to put sanitary things in the toilet." You know, sanitary napkins were when she was on her monthly cycle. Tell your daughter not, because that's what was clogging it. That's what clogged it up. So, so it was something simple. Well, I didn't say anything to her. I didn't get on her or nothing. But it cost me all kinds of money, and it would have been cheaper to got the plumber to begin with, see? And the thing about it is that so many times, you know, right after that, I was up at camp and they asked me, Kathy Wright asked me, she says, her and Bob were up there, and Kathy says, Oscar, you got anything you could share tonight? It was having a sharing time. And she just asked me because she was asking everybody else. And I said, no. And I went to the back to the cabin, and as I was going back, the Lord said, oh, yes, you do. And I thought, oh, no, I told you that whenever you opened a door, I'd go through it. I'd never shared a poem that he'd given me, and he'd given me a few of them by then. And so that night I went back to Kathy, and I said, well, Kathy, I said, yeah, I have something I can share. I said, God gives me poetry sometimes. She said, can I hear it? And I said, sure. And I quoted it to her. And she says, oh, Oscar, I hear music when I hear your poems. I mean, I can hear music in my head. And I said, well, she says, yeah, I want you to share that. I said, okay. And it was hard to get up and share the first time a poem. And I wasn't speaking in the church at the time much or anything, doing anything. And finally, I did. I got up and I shared that. But I just want to tell you what, when God opens a door, step through it. And you know, I told you I'd been teaching Sunday school, like as a backup teacher. And the Sunday school superintendent, this older brother that was doing Sunday school, he was retiring, and he came to me and he says, Oscar, he says, I'm going to retire, and I don't know if I got time to teach Sunday school. And really, he had more time on his hands now than he ever would have had before. And I said, well, and he says, can you take my Sunday school class? And I said, well, I said, you need to go to the Sunday school superintendent and talk to them. And I said, I won't take the class, you know, unless she wants me to take it. Because I know how authority works. Remember what the man said to Jesus? When he came, the man, the centurion or whoever it was, he said, my servant, you know, is sick. I need you to pray for him. And he said, well, I'll come. He said, no, just speak the word only. And he said, I'm a man of authority. I understand authority. And he said, just speak the word only. And you know what? I understood that God had placed that authority over me as far as being the Sunday school superintendent. And I told the person, I said, you need to say to go and speak to them. They went and spoke to the Sunday school superintendent, and she knew that I'd been the backup Sunday school teacher for years. And about maybe a week or two later, she called me up and she said, Oscar, she says, I was just wondering if you'd take the Sunday school, the adult Sunday school class. And she said, I've asked everybody else and nobody else would take it. And I thought, ugh. That was like she punched me in the stomach when she said that. I thought, I've been doing this for years and you ask everybody else first. I didn't say that, but that was going through my head. But see, God knows how to humble you, and he humbles you down. And I said, well, let me pray about it, because I didn't want to give her an answer right then, because I would have said no if I'd have given her an answer. Because it did kind of irk me a little bit. But, I mean, you just imagine you've been doing something for years, and then all of a sudden somebody asks everybody else but you to do it. And then, anyway, so what happened was, I felt like the Lord said, yeah. He said, why do you think I made everyone else say no? And I said, okay, Lord. So I went and I told her, yeah, I'll do the Sunday school class. But, you know, the funny thing is that a few years down the road, she quit being the Sunday school superintendent. And one of the other elders, and at that time, by that time, I was an elder and all that kind of stuff, but one of the other elders took the Sunday school class. I mean, took the superintendent job. And I went to them, and I said, brother, I said, I congratulations on being the Sunday school superintendent. I said, if you want to have somebody else do the Sunday school, that's fine. I said, I won't be mad or I won't get upset or anything like that. You just do whatever you want to do. He said to me, he says, I can't believe that you would say that to me. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, Oscar, he said, you're doing a great job of teaching out there. He says, I can't believe that you would feel like you had to come and tell me that I could remove you from the Sunday. I said, brother, I understand authority. And I said, you were placed in that position, which it was your call who did the teaching in the Sunday school. And I said, I just wanted you to know, if you decided you didn't want me to do it, it was okay. And he says, well, I just can't believe you'd do that. He says, no, I want you to continue on. I said, well, okay. And he says, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He just walked away saying, I can't believe it. I said, because I'd been teaching it for years by that time. And you know, but, you know, when you understand, when God puts you in a position, he puts you there, let him take you out. When it's time, you'll know it's time to get out. But also, don't feel like you can't do something, because God will put you in a position where you're uncomfortable. He won't put you someplace where you say, oh, bless God, I can do that, you know. No, most of the time, he puts you in a position where you're thinking, oh, Lord, ain't there somebody else? Don't you got somebody else? Sometimes you're sort of like Jonah, you know. Lord told him to go to Nineveh and to prophesy to Nineveh. What'd Jonah do? He jumped on a boat going 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And what's the Lord do? He starts basically trying to sink the boat. And finally, the people, the sailors were very superstitious, and they finally said, what's going on? How come all this is, you know, we're having all these bad things? Jonah went to him, and he told him, he says, hey, he says, it's me. He says, I'm disobedient, and he said, throw me overboard, and everything will be okay. That's pretty tough when you go tell somebody, throw me overboard, and everything will be okay. And you know what they did? They threw him overboard. But guess what? Scripture says, and God had prepared a great fish, and the fish swallowed him up. It didn't say it was a whale. It wasn't a whale, guys. It was a great fish of some kind. God might have made a special fish. I don't know what it was. But I can tell you what Jonah said when he was in there. He said, I was in the belly of hell. So it was a bad place until he got obedient to do what God told him to do. And guess what? The fish took him and vomited him up right on the shore where God was sending him. God has a way of getting you to where he wants you to be when he wants you to be there. And you know what? Then Jonah went and he prophesied to Nineveh. And when he prophesied to Nineveh, and Nineveh was a terrible, I mean, if you read about it, it was terrible. They skinned people alive. They did all kind of, I mean, it was a rough place, man. It was not a good place to go. And they were really in some deep, heavy sins. And he went in and he prophesied to them. And a lot of times, if you was a prophet and you went and started giving somebody the word of the Lord, they got mad at you. Christians will get mad at you sometime when you share a word. You know, I've had that happen before too. But anyway, they repented. And God didn't destroy Nineveh. So what does Jonah do? He goes back and starts pouting around. Says, oh God, I knew it. I knew you'd do this. I knew you'd do this. And you know what? He was right. He should have known God would do it when somebody repented. But he was mad because God wasn't going to destroy Nineveh now. And you know what? God even has a way of balancing you out in those kind of situations, you know. You know, praise God. But anyway, folks, you know, just know that how you react to things that happen, that has a lot to do with how people really look at Christianity and in your life. You know, if you're criticizing all the time and you're being critical all the time of everything, that's not a good testimony. And we all do it some, and we do. We're all guilty of that at times. But we need to ask the Lord. We're to bless and curse not. We're to be a blessing, not a curse. You know, we've called to be of the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, all he did was bless. You know, he went around blessing. That's all he did. You know what? Jesus came to bless this earth, not to curse it. He became a curse that we might become a blessing. Because the scripture says, cursed is he that hangs on a tree. And you know what? They hung him on a tree. And praise God, he took our place where we deserved to be. And when he did that, he did it because of the love of God. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody wants prayer, we're glad to pray with you. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I thank you for your words, for they truly are spirit and life. And I ask you, Father, to just help us all to just move and flow when you'd have us move and flow, and not be critical of everything that's going on around us. Even if we don't like it, we don't have to be critical. We can begin to pray about the situation and ask God's blessing to flow in people's lives and change them. They can be changed. And Father, I just thank you for what you're doing. And I ask you to just pour out a special blessing upon your people this week. Let them be encouraged. Let them be strengthened. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor for it. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Yeah. Yes, we can. How about you coming up and leading us?